So I've mentioned many times how every time Rav Aaron spoke, though he was telescoping a particular issue in the Parsha, and this is a sicha about Parsha Shlach and Tzitzis, and he spoke a lot about Tzitzis, a lot of sichot about Tzitzis. It was so panoramic and so foundational, and he stepped back so many paces just to get perspective, and that's why ultimately it wasn't quotable, because it wasn't a particular response to a particular question, a particular story about it. It was just all systemic, and everything was broadened and focused out and zoomed out to cover ranges of issues that on the surface had little to do. And this is really a classic example. It's Parsha Shlach, and Rav Lichtenstein asks the question, the famous question, so there's something iconic about tzitzis that's larger than life. It's not lulav. It's not even mezuzah. It's something even larger. It's called mitzvos Hashem. So the two classic responses are Rashi. Rashi, of course, it's not written in Chazal, but Rashi develops the gematria of tzitzis, ends up together with the letters and the strings to be 613. The classic approach is Rav Meir's approach in Shas, that the color blue reminds us of the ocean, of the sky, of the Kisei HaKavod. So there's a perspective restorer that Tchelis provides, takes you out of the minutia of the day-to-day and the pettiness that limits the horizons of your vision. I always thought, in a chance to make a personal plug, that the almost the architecture of tzitzis reflects the halachic architecture, where there's an emission almost. There's a fabric that's integrated, that's large scale, and then there's strings that grow naturally from the fabric and grow out of, and Chazal actually described the tzitzis as anaf, as a branch. So there's a branching out in a gradual fashion from cloth to knots to strings to wraps. And that's how I see the halachic system. There's some large-scale macro ideas. What's the Ratzon Hashem about Kiddushin, about marriage? What's the Ratzon Hashem about contracts? And then those large-scale ideas branch out into trunks and branches and leaves and twigs and stems and nafkaminos and details. And of course, we see Shas as a collection of details, but the pursuit of a lamdan is to try to integrate all those details into larger models about Hashem's Ratzon. I always thought that there was something iconic and emblematic. But Rav Aaron had a whole different... I'll try to convey this, but I can imagine that no one listening to this shiur has ever heard it. Because I can't imagine anyone taking it to this place. So it's a little bit Hirschian. And maybe you could find things like this, but I'll just let the words speak for themselves. Rav Aaron said, well, to understand why a beged, or a clothing-based mitzvah, could be reflective of the entire Torah, let's take a few steps back and probe the role of clothing experientially for a religious person. Let's first think about what clothing is and what our relationship with clothing are, and then tzitzis is some insignia on our clothing. And it isn't the tzitzis themselves that convey symbolism, but the tzitzis adapt clothing and convey symbolism through the role that clothing plays. So this is basically a summary of where we're heading. Umbrageous clothing are introduced. Initially, man and woman, Adam and Chava, live without clothing, and they're not embarrassed. There's nothing to be embarrassed about. Then they sin, and they realize that they're naked. So they take aleitena, they take fig leaves, and they cover themselves. And then after HaKadosh Baruch Hu chides them, so he replaces their fig leaves with clothing of skin. Simple reading kasnos are skin clothing, the first appearance of manufactured clothing. Well, it's manufactured, but prepared clothing. So what's up? What do these three almost stages represent? Pre-sin, post-sin, fig leaves, and then post-post-sin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu providing clothing. So Rav Aaron felt that man without clothing represents man living in harmony with nature, right? Nature doesn't have clothing. Animals don't have clothing. But harmony with nature, not just in the environmentalist or naturalist sense that there's no conflict, although that as well, between the human experience and the natural experience, but also between a human being and his own nature, his own urges, his own desires. There's no evil, so those desires can be expressed without affecting those around them, without affecting Chava, without affecting nature. So he's free to express his natural impulses without any constraints, without any limitations. And of course, Chet ruins that, because Chet introduces Yetzer Hara. So now there's a problem, that there's a clash between man and nature, but not just the lions and the elephants, but between man and his own nature, because now his own nature is polluted and contains desires that could affect, that could be excessive, that could be sinful. So nature, now man can no longer have the luxury of living in symmetry or in synchronicity with nature. Now what happens is, how do you respond to this crisis? And this is really spectacular imagery. Varon felt that just putting a fig leaf on your body, essentially ignoring the problem, hoping it'll go away, covering it up, mascara, a band-aid, and clothing, real clothing, is let's improve. Let's take all these traits that have potential and had potential and could be expressed in an unrestrained fashion before sin, and now let's improve the human condition, and let's, because we all sense now that we don't wear clothing as escaping our nakedness. We wear clothing in a very personal, proud expression of who we are as humans. We take care, they reflect who we are, what messages we want to transmit, how we want to speak to those in our surrounding. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was redirecting Adam, don't just cover it up. There's a different way to deal with this crisis and this fissure between a polluted nature that can't be expressed and man's loftier calling. And that's why Rav Aaron quotes the Pasuk in Tetzaveh. That's why ultimately clothing become a source of kavod and tifaras. Of course, the Pasuk in Tetzaveh is describing a kohen and big dekona, but again, Rav Aaron thought this was always emblematic of the role clothing played for us. And that's why post-sin, man is working nature. Nature isn't freely providing produce, but b'zeh sapecha toholechem, which isn't just a punishment, but again is a reflection of a new relationship with man and nature. And we work nature, and we perfect it, and we improve nature. So clothing is very much a product of the post-sin or the post-fall, the fallen world. And there's two different types of clothing: the cover-up clothing, which ignores the problem, and the actual clothing Hashem provides, which embraces the opportunity to lend dignity to the human condition by abstinence, restraint, improvement, self-sculpting. So clothing are very iconic. But here's the problem. It could be too much about man. Because, I imagine Adam saw the clothing is delivered by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we may not. And at some point it's very personal. Clothing is very human. There's almost no metaphor that associates it with Hashem. When we talk about eating, Hashem provides lechem and aretz, but we don't even make a bracha on clothing. So it's harder to have that sense that Hashem delivers the ability to be dressed and dress well, malbish harumim. And so what could happen is that we get into that space where it's arrogance, it's maybe human, it's perfection not being directed by divine code. It's not just attitudinal, but it's also, what code do you use for human perfection? How do you perfect the human experience? So on top of all this clothing-oriented modality is slapped a blue string of tchelas as a reminder. He doesn't quote Rabbi Meir in the Kisei Akava, but I imagine it's probably somewhere in that imagery, but it's certainly a mitzvah reference that's slapped onto our clothing. So essentially tzitzis is an addition to clothing. And clothing has symbolism, and tzitzis channels that symbolism in a religious fashion. And it's not as if looking at the tzitzis somehow triggers memories of mitzvot, as Rashi felt, as Meir felt, but it should trigger religious consciousness, which would then lead to performance of mitzvot. So it's not as if, the tzitzis provide some visual stimulus that leads us to remember mitzvot. It just provides a visual stimulus to use our experience in perfecting the human condition as a religious calling based on the symbolism of what clothing represents. So here's really a perfect example, firstly, of very original thinking, but the original thinking that comes from seeing everything as modular and as systemic. So understanding tzitzis as a tie-in, excuse the pun, or as a portal to mitzvah experience and mitzvah consciousness demands first understanding the role of clothing. I apologize for the coughing. I'm still suffering with a bit of a cold.